We're Catholic, and we better be working to make sure the laws are moral, just like Pope Benedict said we should. And that means we better be speaking up and speaking out in the public sphere, which has always been the case since the founding of this country.
Hey everyone, welcome to U.S. Grace Force Podcast here. Doug Berry, along with my very good friend, Father Richard Heilman, and we have back our very special guest, great friend, Father James Altman. I'm sure some of you have heard of him, especially lately, for very good reason. Before we begin, though, we want to turn everything, as always, over to God in prayer. Father Heilman, I turn this over to your most capable hands.
Okay, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our defense against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly hosts, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Father Heilman. As always, appreciate that very much. Before we get started with our wonderful guest tonight, I want to make a massive thank you, very well known to everybody out there who's supporting the Grace Force podcast. Cannot thank you enough, especially those out there who are praying for us. Your comments, your support, your encouragement, especially in these times, is very, very helpful, means a lot to us. And the patrons out there, those of you who have chosen to help support us financially, tremendous thank you to you as well. If you're interested in becoming a patron, help us out. Click the Patreon link below. Pray about it, please. If you feel God is calling you in some way, shape, or form to help us with a few dollars or more, there's a lot of different tiers you can pick from. We thank you very much for that. You help make this very possible to get this message out. Also, don't forget to go out to the U.S. Grace Force gear store you see here on the screen and in the link below and get yourself some amazing U.S. Grace Force gear like the t-shirt that I've got on right here, USGF, and Father Heilman's I Kneel for God Alone, and many other the God Strong t-shirts, coffee mugs, you name it. We got it out there. We've got to send a message to the world that we're ready for this battle. And we are part of this force of grace that God wants to just pour out through the world. And that being said, our guest tonight is very, very well known, especially lately for a recent video that was out there. Father Altman, you cannot be Catholic and Democrat, period. And this thing is soaring right now, and it should in number of views that are out there. And the reason is because the clarity in this video is obvious to the point. And it's stirring a lot of people up, as it should, because we've got a lot of watered down, weak, snowflake, lukewarm, you name it, type of Catholics out there. And it's just unacceptable with regards, especially what's going on in the world right now. So Father Altman, we thank you again for being with us
again
on the show. Yeah. So how does it feel, Father, to have done this video and see the response? Because I know the response has been, you know, you're getting hammered on one side of things, but you've also had a lot of really good support on the other. And I know that you are the first one to say, as you've already said, as we got ready for the show here, that all glory to God. This is all about the glory of God and the salvation of souls and the teachings of the church, especially in these times. So I know, and I've known you for years, and I know you take these things very, very well. How does it feel to see this whole thing explode like it is right now? And God's kind of put you in this position as this, his mouthpiece, his voice.
Yeah, I am. I know we've talked before, and it came out of the blue. And I don't think that I'm saying anything differently than the Catholic Church has taught for 2000 years, but maybe just not quite as like right there. A lot of chickens. I called them gutless cowards. If the shoe fits,
yeah,
you know, that's the shoe fits. Go, coward is such a not a good trait to have. You know, what do we have? Fortitude. That's one of our cardinal virtues. You know what isn't? Cowardice.
Right.
So, I guess I'm still surprised. I think I told you that on the morning I didn't know what it's even going to look like. On the morning of Sunday, so it'd be a week ago, they sent me the link and I looked at it and there was, I think, 40 viewers at that time. And I was number 41 and I thought, who's ever going to see this? And so that the fact that it has seemed to have blossomed as it has, I certainly didn't have that in mind when I was doing it, simply trying to tell the truth, but that shows you how the truth resonates. And mm-hmm. and it's resonating with people everywhere because they're hungry, they're thirsting for the righteousness of truth. So it's, you know, if people get upset with me, but the reason people are listening isn't because I'm so great. I mean, I wouldn't want to listen to myself either, but it's that the message is there. And if the shepherds of the church better open up their eyes, well, I don't like Father Altman, but you know what? You better like the hundreds of thousands, millions of souls that are listening, because they are the ones that are concerned about, you know, that they're the truly faithful.
Yeah.
I don't care if they bark at me, but boy, you don't touch those people, those sheep of mine and yours and the Catholic Church's faithful that have been so bereft of someone finally coming up and saying the truth. So yeah, there you go. Okay, sorry.
Well, and I know recently, I'd chime in, just throw this in too. You actually had a comment, a tweet that came out from Bishop Joseph Strickland in support of this. And this is very public. And we'll get it up here on the screen here so people can see this. So Bishop Strickland has responded. To my knowledge, he's the only bishop who has endorsed your message very clearly.
At least publicly like that, like he did. And I'll tell you, so I didn't know about this. And so people started texting me this, that he had said that. And be completely candid, I was, you always feel like, I mean, we're on the same page, but you worry about the people up here that the ones that don't like you are going to, you know, like, I'm quite sure that certain bishops complained to my bishop and said, hey, you've got this rogue priest over there. And when I finally heard a bishop actually have our backs, I say ours because we are on the same page, and I am not saying anything you wouldn't say too. I literally got choked up, had tears in my eyes, and was up here overwhelmed that because here's what you wouldn't know this. Earlier that day, I was meeting with people after Holy Mass, as they want somewhat selfies, and it's just glorious to be with parish family. I mean, that's why we're called to be parish priests. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I said to him, I talked about that, like the five priests that are my heroes, or five bishops that are my heroes, and Bishop Strickland is one of them. So to have your own hero, who you don't think knows your name from Adam, to suddenly come out and say something as supportive as that, I have no words. So I hope he sees this, but I also am going to snail mail him a handwritten letter of thank you, because that meant the world to me. Mm. Just the world.
Father, you know, when I watched it on Sunday morning, and I actually threw it to Taylor Marshall right after that, I said, you got to see this. And within a couple of hours, Taylor had a video up, and the video was all about, we need to come to the defense of Father Altman, because he knew you went there, and you did. And you went to a place where a lot of us are afraid to go. I know I've been trying to speak the truth boldly, but the passion in which you did and how directly you did it, I'm not sure I could do that. I know I'm supposed to, I really do. But a lot of us priests, bishops, are in the same place, that we're afraid. We basically are. And you said that in the video, because so many people want to come after us. I literally had tears in my eyes as I was watching that video for pure joy. And then just this sense of relief, you know, that it came out. And I know as I watched people comment after they saw the video, it was almost similar, the same kind of reaction, that it was almost like this collective, finally, you know, finally, because we're at a breaking point where I keep saying we're at the precipice, we're at the edge of the cliff. And these minions, I keep reminding people, this isn't 1955 anymore, okay?
Yeah.
And this isn't about, jostling around about, you know, the budget or anything. I mean, what they're trying to, storm the gates with you know, I literally storm the gates. You know, you think of all those images in the Old Testament where the enemy is ready to invade. Well, they're ready to invade, you know, and you know, you could still use the gate image too. And they picked a Trojan horse in Vice President Biden, you know, he appears to be one thing, but inside is all these minions ready to come out and attack. And we all know this. At least we all should know this. Okay. We all should know this. And then, Father, I found this. I want to share this too, because I put up a post that kind of documented your video and then the responses from a lot of people. But I started the post out from a quote from Pope Pius X. And I just want to share this right now. He says, Pope Pius, get this, okay? Pope Pius X said, "Let priests take care not to accept from the liberal any ideas which, under the mask of good, pretend to reconcile justice with iniquity. Liberal Catholics are wolves in sheep's clothing. The priest must unveil to the people their perfidious plot, their iniquitous design. You will be called papist, clerical, retrograde, intolerant, but pay no heed to the derision and mockery of the wicked. Have courage. You must never yield, nor is there any need to yield. You must go into the attack wholeheartedly, not in secret, but in public, not behind barred doors, but in the open, in the view of all." Closed quote from Pope Pius X. And yet, Father, we've been afraid. We've been afraid. And so, first of all, I want to thank you. And I want tonight, we're going to get into, you know, when you say you can't be Catholic and a Democrat, period. Again, I want to put this in perspective. It's not 1955 anymore. So we got to get into what is it in this era, is 2020, what is it is that they are trying to usher in right now? But here's my question is, I know that this is a critical time right now, and I know you do too. Can you speak to that? What makes this so critical? I've even said this may be the most critical time in salvation history. I know that sounds like it's extreme and fanatical, but I'll bet you're in the same exact place. And so are you, and where are you at with all this? How critical is it?
The census fidelium is the feeling that all Catholics have about what is going on around us. And nobody knows the day or the hour, right? I always joke, well, you didn't say we wouldn't know the month or the year. And when you see, this might sound radical, when you see the ammo shells at the stores, bought out, you cannot, because people are buying it, what, for self-defense purposes.
Right.
The good and decent people are very much concerned about the very radical way. And it is always the case. All through South America, all through Russia, through France. I mean, that's why they're using that guillotine as their symbol now.
Yeah.
I mean, you saw what happened in the French Revolution and how it's always the same thing. Attack the police who try to keep law enforcement, and attack the churches who try to keep God within us, in our culture, because it is his tempering grace that keeps us all on the right track. They're throwing it all out. And they've been doing this now for, 100 years. We know that 100 years. Right. They've been doing it for at least that long. And since 1963, when they threw out God out of the public schools, and then force-fed them evolution, it's no wonder that there isn't this tempering grace of God throughout our culture. And so now what we're seeing is eventually, so it's critical. It's like an atom bomb. The critical mass, it builds up, and then there's the catalyst, and then it goes boom. Or like a volcano keeps building up, there's steam coming, pretty soon it's Mount St. Helens, kaboom. I mean, that's what we're seeing all around us. So you'd have to be blind to not see this, building up around us, and like the proverbial ostrich with his head stuck in the sand.
Yeah.
You can see the signs of the times, and you can just tell. Prepare your spiritual ark for sure. Fill your lamps with oil. I keep saying it that way. Why? Because Jesus said so.
Yep.
And then prepare your temple arks too, because they're lawless. They're completely lawless, and we see that in all. How can you? What kind of government do you have when you have, what is it, 100 days, no, 101 in Portland? That useless Portland mayor, she should be tarred and feathered and thrown out of the city. Look at Detroit. The mayor and the police chief get together and they say, you know what, we don't even think about doing this here. And there's nothing going on in Detroit, right? Which, you know, used to be kind of a murder capital. But look what's going on in Portland. What's happening there is spilled out everywhere.
Yep.
And, you know, look what happened in Kenosha, right? All of a sudden, something happens in Kenosha, and now Minneapolis is on fire again.
Yeah.
Hey, you know about this calling people, though, because you mentioned that earlier, have people ready to call.
Yeah.
But I know friends in the legal profession, I have several of them down in Phoenix, and I can tell you, way over a decade ago, the Phoenix police, who were there on very good terms with, said, listen, over a decade ago. I said, listen, when it all hits the fan, because they could see it coming back then. Mm. Listen, when it all hits the fan, don't call us, because we're going home to protect our family.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is the way it's going to go. So you better,
So, Father, I just want to say something based on what you just said. You talk about, you know, things going sideways. You talked about the whole tinderbox idea. You talked about the reality that things are building up. You know, this is what happened in the genocide in Rwanda back in 1994. Yep. Yeah. And that was prophesied by our Blessed Mother 12 years prior. But what happened on April 7th is when the president of Rwanda's plane was shot down. That night, the explosion of the civil war took place. And it was so bad. For 90 days, you had nearly a million people that were slaughtered and many, many more who were just brutalized. I mean, there was genocidal rape for the horrible situation women had to go through. People were just brutalized left and right. And I have a priest friend in California, a Father Bernie, and he was actually in Rwanda when this happened. He's a Hutu, and it was a battle between the Tutsis and the Hutus. And he talks about what it was like there and how it's just the chaos of it, how maddening and just destructive it was. But he brings me out to his parish. He's brought me out a couple different times out in Sacramento a few years back. And we would do 2 and 3 day events where he would say, Doug, just unleash, tell the people about Marian prophecies and what she's saying to us and the warnings. And then he would bring in 5 or 6 priests for confessions. And he would tell me, America is very close, all right, because of the way our dialogue is, the propaganda, the political scenario, and people, you know, as we're seeing now, are separating out politics from religion. And that's a major part of the problem. So what happens is we do these several battle-ready rallies out there, and he is adamant about this because he's afraid that our country is headed that very direction. But the thing about this is, I guarantee you that there were people out there, the concentration camps of Germany to what happened in Rwanda, where people were going to the churches to try to find safety. And you have to be people out there who were saying, why didn't we do something when we saw the writing on the wall?
Right.
When we knew this was coming, we right. saw the political scheme or the political layout of the land that was falling apart. And yet we just sat around living in this normalcy bias.
Right.
I mean, and on that point, I want to say this. I don't want to miss this point here. These two priests, Father Altman and Father Heilman, I'm going to say publicly here, these two priests are speaking out clearly. Now, they're two of the humblest priests that I've met in the country. And I've met a lot over 30 years of traveling around the country. I do a lot of conferences, retreats, parish missions. And I will go anywhere to talk about these things, especially what I'm about to say right now. I'm asking anybody out there, especially if you are the parishioners of these two priests, you men in particular, we laymen, we need to be stepping up like never before. If you have any skill set whatsoever of self-defense training, you name it, even firearms, and I mean legitimate self-defense, well-trained firearms, understanding the church's teaching on this, be there to protect these two priests and any other priests out there, especially those who are putting a bullseye on their back by being Christ-like enough to speak clearly. You know, I'm here down here in Tyler, Texas, where Bishop Strickland is. And, you know, he's communicated with me. And all I'll say is he's asked me to work where I can. I train men down here. We do firearms training and so forth to be proactive. when it comes to what's going on in our society and our times right now. And, you know, some of the guys I work with, we do shooting drills, we work out. And I can tell you, these guys are struggling, as you mentioned, Father Altman, trying to find ammunition on the shelves. And these guys are having a hard time finding it as well. This is the lay of our land right now. We cannot live in the normalcy bias with our heads buried in the sand. But back to this point, our priests need us men in particular to step up and protect them. So I'm calling on every good man out there, especially those who have skill set when it comes to training, self-defense, all of it, firearms, any of it. Be ready, work with other men, train, and be ready to protect these two priests and other priests as well, and bishops, especially those that are really speaking out on these things right now. I mean, shame on us men to just bury our heads in the sand, to live in our man cave and think that that's the answer to the problem. Being keyboard warriors here, just typing away, thinking that's how we solve all of this. That's part of it, all right? But a major part of it is being trained up and ready to go, spiritually always, but physically as well. And I just had to say that. And if anybody wants to invite me into your parish, your church, to speak on these matters, to come in and try to rally guys together, women too, but especially men, to step up and be trained and do this, I will be there. I will come. But I want to get back to that key point also. When things go sideways in our society, look, you don't want to be in a position where you're scratching your head thinking, oh no, what do we do? We're seeing this far in advance. Fathers, you mentioned down in Phoenix, those police officers who said they saw it coming, but don't call on us because we're going home to our wives and children. I have heard this from many as well over the years. They've said to me, look, Doug, if things really go bad, we'll do the best we can, but we're out of this. We got families to take care of, especially when we're defunding the police. We're throwing bricks at the police. Governors and mayors aren't even backing their law enforcement like they should. This is despicable what's going on when it comes to protecting our law enforcement. All right. This is despicable.
Absolutely.
So I'm just going to say right now, if we do not see the writing on the wall, if we do not respond appropriately, spiritually first, but also physically, because we do live in a temporal world and God wants us to be prepared to train and protect those that he entrusts to our care, then we are missing the boat. And I think, Father, you mentioned, I don't know if it was before the show or at the beginning of the show, Father Altman, I think it's the beginning of the show. In fact, that cowardice is not one of the four cardinal virtues, but fortitude is.
Fortitude is. Yeah.
Yeah. Come on, man. Let's go. Step it up. We got to be there. We got to be ready to go.
You remember, I think his name is Alfred Niemöller. I don't know that we've ever talked about him before, but he's a guy that was over in Germany. I think he was a Lutheran. And he testified before Congress. Do you know who I'm talking about? Where he said, well, they came for the Jews. And I didn't say anything because I wasn't a Jew. And then they came for, I think, the homosexuals. And I didn't say anything because I wasn't a homosexual. And then they came for the gypsies. And I didn't say anything. Anyway, he goes down a list. And then he gets to the point where he says, and then they came for me, and there's nobody left to speak up on my behalf.
Mm-hmm.
So what we have is a lot of people just, it's not me. It's not affecting me particularly. And so I'm not going to, you know, I've got.
We all have a
responsibility. It's our duty. It's our Catholic duty.
Yes.
And that's why this next election is so important, which is, I think, one of the things we're actually going to get to tonight. But, we have a Catholic duty. And we've known what that duty is for 2,000 years unambiguously. And it's only people like Martin who goes around confusing people where we enter into ambiguity land. And that's why you can say, people can say something so foolish as, well, that might be true for you, but it's not true for me. No, truth is truth. And anything contrary to the truth is false. Mm-hmm.
I'm reminded of a scripture passage I've gone back to several times, but this is 2 Timothy 3, and it goes like this: but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. I think we get caught, don't we? We get caught in our own worldliness and in our own lusts and wants and desires, and and also our own safety. You know, we're afraid of the people that will attack us if we dare speak up. And I just want to say again, Father, I'm so grateful to you. And I think I do my best to try to speak up, but I'm going to do even more just because you have inspired me to do that. And I pray God that that you and others like you inspire more and more clerics, so bishops and priests, to speak up in these tumultuous times. So, Father, let's get into it, if we could.
Father Hyman, forgive me, Father Hyman. I just want to ask if you could do, before we break this down, Father Altman, could you read that last piece of that scripture quote?
Yeah.
Yeah, just the last like couple lines. Yep.
They will be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people.
Okay, now that statement right there.
Yep.
Having a form of godliness, but denying his power.
Yep.
Dare I say, sounds like the Democratic platform. Right. I don't even mean that as a sarcastic statement, but they voted God out
right
years ago, right? They would bring God into their convention, you know, several years back. And yet there are people who will say, oh, that's a great quote, Father, but don't bring politics into it. Yeah. But this is where scripture actually says have nothing to do with people who claim to have a godless idea, but they don't trust and believe in the power. Right. This is crazy to think that we shouldn't be addressing or discussing these things in the political world when we know that politics make policies on how a society is run.
Yep.
And especially when it comes to the life of a child in the womb or defense of a marriage, of what marriage is, or why, as you say, Father Heilman, one of the sickest examples of our society that adult men are allowed to go into the bathroom where little girls are. There's the twistedness of this. Human trafficking, all these types of things that are allowed under certain policies by government, and we're not supposed to address that?
You know, so Pope Benedict, in that video, I'm pretty sure I quoted that quote from Pope Benedict, where it said that the church, as the moral authority, does indeed have something to do with politics. And when I used to teach the kids in the high school, I had a phrase, and it was, they put it on the test, it's legality, and then you know how you have an equal sign with a line through it, means does not equal morality. So I don't care what the law says. We're Catholic, and we better be working to make sure the laws are moral, just like Pope Benedict said we should. And that means we better be speaking up and speaking out in the public sphere, which has always been the case since the founding of this country. I just get so annoyed at people who try to tell me what the Constitution says. They haven't ever read it, like they haven't read Vatican II either.
Right.
You know, the First Amendment was all about the national government shall not establish a national religion like Henry VIII did and then killed all the Catholics.
Right.
Now, but each state actually was entitled to have a state established religion. And that is the way it started out. It's only since all this crazy stuff, since these modernists got in charge and you had these pagans, atheists on the Supreme Court, where they changed that, the court itself, not the Congress didn't do this, the courts did, where they started saying, we're started hammering the idea that we don't have this freedom of religion. We don't have the freedom to speak out. Now, you know, I think I said in before we began recording that whole issue of taxation, that's what everybody's afraid of. I heard this about this little video that, well, you got to be careful about the politics because they might try to take away your tax exemption. Listen, people, you need to understand something. They didn't, at the beginning of this country until 1913, they did not even have a legal right to tax, national tax, in the first place. There was no such thing as the IRS. They didn't have a right to do it. It took a constitutional amendment and they sold the people on it and saying, well, it'll never be more than 1%. And after all, you're a patriot. You'll pay 1% of your income to make sure we're safe in this country nationally because these crazy wars are breaking out. So when they put in this idea, well, we're going to exempt churches. Listen, they didn't have a right to tax us in the first place. They still don't have a right to tax us in the first place. And this threat that they have over our heads, like the sword of Damocles, that they're going to take away our tax exemption. Listen, they can't take away something that was ours to begin with. that they didn't give it to us. It was ours. That's the whole point of separation of church and state. They don't have a right to tax us in the first place. So we don't have to fear about them taking away exemption. By definition, we are exempt.
Right. I want to remind people.
Carried too, away with that, but it's true.
I want to remind people too, in case you don't know, but Father Altman in his past life was a very successful lawyer. So he knows stuff, you know, and so we
he brings stuff. That
to yeah he brings that to the table too. So he's not just blowing from left field. He actually knows these things.
Right.
So Father, I've been stumped. Let's start with abortion. I've been stumped how there it is. I mean, we have ultrasounds, This isn't a clump of cells. The science, which is the God of the left.
Right. They only take science when it agrees with them.
Yeah, the science is in. I have a beautiful picture of a baby in a 4D ultrasound, and I'm going to ask that we put that picture up here because I think it's a beautiful picture. But the science is in, and yet still, secure this right to abortion. There's times, and I know this is going to sound extreme, but there's times where I feel like we're in the times of Jezebel and the God of Baal. And this is the big thing that this side needs, to sacrifice. That's what they did back then. They sacrificed children before the God of Baal. But it just seems it's that important to them. It's their sacrament.
Yes.
And I don't get it, Father. Help us to understand this.
At least in the time of Baal, that when they sacrificed children, it's because they valued children. When they threw virgins into the volcano to appease the volcano god, right. By the way, the volcano god never threw the virgin back, rejected that little sacrifice.
Yeah.
That they valued, it was a thing of value they were sacrificing. Now, when they're killing the babies in the womb, they're not killing it because it has value.
Right.
They're killing it because they deny its value. It is entirely different from at least the pagans were at least acknowledging the value of the child.
Can you touch on just how radical the Democratic platform has become?
I can. Shall I?
Yes, please.
Yes. I can. But as one little preface to this, as a backdrop, I remember in the 70s, there was, yes, I am that old. I remember there was this professor at Princeton, and he was advocating for a parent's right to kill the baby up until the time that the baby was 2 years old. And he was being paid by tax dollars to be a professor at that university. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? What person? You should have run him out right then and there. How dare he say something like you have 2 years to choose? Well, who knew that it would go from 3 months. That was the whole point of Roe, I think, in the first place. Yeah, 3 months.
Legal, safe, and rare.
Yeah. And all of a sudden it's expanded out. Now watch what happens. Before Obama gets elected, you fake Catholics out there, listen up. Before he gets elected, you can hear him on the Illinois State Senate floor saying that if a baby is born alive, when the mother wanted to murder it in the first place, if it gets born alive, that wasn't supposed, that was an accident that it was born alive. So you can put it in a basket, go stick it in the utility closet until it dies. He was supporting.
This was before he was elected president.
Before he's elected president.
Yeah.
We knew this. That's why I said we knew this.
Right.
And yet we let 53% of Catholics voted for him, fake Catholics, in the first election. Oh, they wait till I wouldn't want to be them when I die.
I love that part in your video when you say, I did some research and I know the number of Catholics who voted for Obama and I'm waiting for this number to come out. And all of a sudden you go, zero. Yeah, it's true. I mean, you can't be a Catholic. I mean, life. I mean, that's the first thing that we need to protect.
Now, folks have said that. They said that all the other evils combined, don't add up to that one evil. So can I give you one more example about, because this is a Democratic platform too. It's about like the death penalty. So I was with Archbishop Lestecki, he was bishop here at one point, and he was before all these kids in the cathedral. I can see it like it was yesterday. And some kids set up by his lib parents started interrogating the bishop about, well, why doesn't the church put so much effort into the death penalty. Like, why don't you, you know, why is it always all I hear about is no abortion, no abortion, no abortion? Why don't you say something about the death penalty? Like, he said it the third time, and finally the bishop had it. And he said, listen, how many people have been executed in this country since 1973? Of course, nobody knew the answer. I didn't know either. I didn't think it was a very big number. I just looked it up again yesterday because I was having this great discussion with the family. Since 1976, when death penalty was reinstated in this country, do you have any idea? I can tell you. I know what the number is. Most people don't. Since then, 1,516 heinous criminals who did something profoundly evil were executed in this country. So that's over, how many is that? 47 years? 1,516. Not very many, right? Since 1973, 60 million innocent lives. So Bishop Listecki said to him, so just do the math. 60 million versus, you know, one of innocence versus like 1,516 heinous criminals. Right. And now you realize why the Catholic Church speaks up about abortion. So there's, oh, you can't be one issue voter. Oh, you're always about abortion. Well, you don't even talk to me about defending these heinous criminals. Because the Catholic Church, I don't care what they, how they rewrote the catechism, the Catholic Church has never taught the unchanged, unchangeable truth. It's never been capital punishment is not a permissible.
You know, I think I talked about this in the last show, but I'll just review it real quick. I said, what if it was a law in the land right now that you put Jews into train cars and bring them to a concentration camp and burn them? Mm-hmm. You know, would that make you not want to vote for a party that had that on their platform?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's up to you. Okay. Those who have not, you know, come to this deeper understanding about the value of life, you know, are you saying that this little baby has no value or less value than a Jew? Realize this, Hitler thought the Jews had no value, okay? Right. When there were slave owners, they had no value, the slaves, okay? This is where we are again, all right? It's interesting, too, that the Democratic Party were the ones who are the proponents for slavery now are the proponents of killing babies. I mean, it's the party of devaluing life. Okay.
Well, that isn't that the Planned Parenthood, whom they support
right
religiously, was founded to because Margaret Sanger said the black people don't have any value. They're breeding weeds. So she wanted to wipe out the black people. It is the most racist, I've said it before, it is the most racist organization in this country. And 9 out of 10 black babies in Detroit, actually, I'm trying to save them. And they're over there. How dare they?
Now, Father, something else, I think, let's address something here and get at the core of one of the arguments that people have. And I know when your video came out, this has come out. Bishop Strickland supported, he acknowledged your video, supported it. He's probably gotten some flack on this. I know another priest, Father Voighthofer out of Omaha, a friend of mine, he supported your video. He's gotten flack for it. And it's always the same thing.
The cancel culture. That's what it is.
Cancel culture. And it's a don't make the church political. Separation, church and state. No politics in the church. Right. Jesus wouldn't want... Wait a minute.
Killing babies is politics.
Yeah, that's one thing, is they skew the line of actual morality and just make it political. But can both you priests speak so that people can understand Jesus did deal with the government? He dealt with politics as well. Jesus never walked on this earth and said, no, don't worry. No, not Caesar. No, we're not doing that. Yeah. I'm just here for the religious folk. I mean, can you address this a little bit so people can understand that our Lord himself dealt with moral fiber for everybody, including politicians?
Okay. What I would say is, first of all, they're hypocritical liars because they want the church to get all involved in the politics of illegal immigrants and of, I had another topic that they wanted us involved in. Social justice warrior, they want us, getting very much
involved. Climate change.
There's another one. They want us very much involved. You know, Nancy Pelosi says the bishop should get involved in this whole illegal immigration thing. Well, get involved in that. But when it comes to something that is against her agenda, or against the Democratic agenda. That's the only time you're not allowed to get political. Right. So it's only political. It's all okay unless it's not their agenda.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But doesn't Jesus, in the Gospels, Jesus is not afraid to address, yeah. The political realm as well, is he not?
Well, John the Baptist wasn't afraid. He got his head cut off in the end because he actually did try to say, hey, Herod, you're being a little immoral here.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And that could get us into our next topic, the whole idea of
getting our head cut off. I was talking about guillotines.
Yeah, we talk about marriage. Of course, John the Baptist is my hero because I share his birthday, June 24th. But so he was trying to protect marriage. And this is what's happened too. You know, this was 2015, the Obergefell decision. And that ushered in what? Well, it opened a door. It was a precedent, if you will, that says, okay, now marriage can mean fill in the blank, right? It can mean basically—
That's a good way to put it.
Right, because as long as it can mean something other than what, you know, natural marriage is, then now it can mean anything. And you're seeing these, I see them all the time, of people trying to push things like polyamory, you can marry—
There's threeples now.
Yeah, thruples, I think they call them, yeah.
Thruples, that I say.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, a guy with two wives or a gal with two husbands, but they're going for even four and five, you know, let's do a group thing and call it marriage and call it marriage. I've heard people, they want to marry their child. They want to marry their cocker spaniel, you know, because why? Because now when it's not just, okay, what it's always been, when it's the bedrock of civilization, now we can open it up, and if it feels good to me, okay, that's really what is the party of, if it feels good to me, okay. I always point to two. That's right. That's the great commandment in the Satanic Bible: do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. Right.
Yeah.
This is the party of do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. If it feels good, do it. Whether it's right or whether it's wrong, there is no sense of right and wrong because of what? Moral relativism.
Exactly. You know,
your right is different than my right, and blah 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 blah. Yeah. And so now we're in the realm of the whole idea of gay marriage. Do you want to speak to that, Father? You know,
this was again, this was federal overreach.
Right.
We'd be very concerned, as the founding fathers were, about federal overreach. Up until that time, each individual state had its own authority to define what constituted marriage and what did not. I mean, they were all consistent about it. But like, for instance, I think it was Pennsylvania. If you had gone with your girlfriend and signed into the hotel as Mr. and Mrs., the next morning, by common law, you were married. And that had implications. Similarly, in Nevada, you used to have this, you could fly in, get a divorce, I think in one day or something. It was whatever it was pretty small. So states had to say, listen, it doesn't count over here. But then there was this full faith and credit thing. I could go into all sorts of legal theory stuff there. But each state individually, because you know what? The people in Wisconsin do, most people actually think differently than California. So California, whatever you want. I'm not moving to California because you people are crazy, right? The majority, they're godless. Because what, millions voted over Hillary, the godless. Anyway, but what the federal, what the Supreme Court did by, I think, was, listen, truth is 9-0. Opinion of mere mortals at the time is a 5-4 decision. And I think Obergefell was about a 5-4 decision. So somebody's opinion, one person, I always said, fear the fifth vote on the Supreme Court, which is why this next election is so important. Because it's going to determine who that fifth vote is. Fear the fifth vote, because that vote's against you. There goes our religious liberties. And ultimately, if we don't have that, we have nothing.
No.
So did I answer your question? I'm sorry.
No, you did well.
Yeah, Father, I have a question for you, Father Altman. I know, because Father Hammond and I talk, I've got a good feeling on where he is on this, but where do you see the country going if Trump is reelected or if Biden is elected? Kind of two scenarios there.
Yeah.
Because there are some people I know out there who believe that if Trump's reelected, oh, the rioting and the violence will calm down because people will kind of say, okay, it didn't work. We'll just go for another 4 years.
Yeah.
And then there are others who are saying, no, if he's reelected, this is only going to escalate because they've come this far. They're not going away. But if Biden gets elected, maybe some of the violence dies down, but then the government becomes maybe more tyrannical or authoritarian.
Against us, yeah.
Kind of what's your take on both pictures, both directions there?
History informs us about what happens. These people that are rioting now, if they don't get their way, will never not riot. You have Kamala Harris running around saying it's a good thing that they're rioting now and it's going to continue. So when you have a vice presidential candidate saying something like that, that is just horrific.
Yeah, and she said it should continue.
Yeah, exactly. So she's actually got to give her credit. She spoke the truth. They're not going away because they're a bunch of bullies and they won't stop because they have no moral compass. They have no interior. They have no reference to the transcendent truth. So therefore, what they say goes, and they perfectly justify themselves in what they do. So that rioting is not going to go away. It's not going to go away if Trump is elected. Obviously, we know that. They're not going to settle down because that's the way brat bullies, spoiled brats are. But if Biden gets elected, it's not going to go away because then they'll have the backing of the government. Listen, when Hitler was elected, the brown shirts didn't just go away. His terror tactics didn't just go away. Look what happened in the French Revolution. When they took over, the terror didn't go away because they were in the ruler's chair at that moment. It got worse. So it's foolhardy to think.
And Father, you mentioned earlier about the guillotine. For the viewers and the listeners who aren't familiar with what you meant by that, I think you mentioned it earlier in the show here. Why do you say that about the guillotine? Because we're seeing this expression being used right now by some of the protesters / rioters.
Oh, yeah. It's all over Portland. And that's a symbol, which is a symbol of the French Revolution, when these socialists, godless socialists, because remember, they took over all, they confiscated the entire church property. They drove out, I think I saw it was 30,000 priests. They drove into exile and they executed, was it 1,200? I think they got a hold of it. And they were, you know what the guillotine does. So they did that to sisters and nuns. There was one, it's 16 sisters from one particular convent. They executed all 16 of them in one day, one after another. That's what godless people do. Right. And that's exactly what they're going to try to do to us. So that they can even think to use a guillotine as the symbol of to inspire them. Wow. We should be very much afraid.
Yeah.
You know, I was reading around as we were getting ready for the podcast, and this really struck me. I mean, it took my breath away. You know how in the March for Life, this is the first president that actually speaks to them, right? And he's such a great supporter. Yeah.
Didn't Archbishop Gregory go to be with him when he spoke up for life? Oh wait, I'm sorry. No, he didn't. Sorry, I couldn't help myself.
Point right. Taken.
No, you got to call that out. It's not right.
Right.
You know, sorry. that he didn't support the president when the president stood up there and spoke in favor of life.
Right. And of course, Biden never did, of course. But here's what happened. The day after the March for Life, Biden tweets this. Let's be clear. Transgender equality is the civil rights issue of our times. There is no room for compromise when it comes to basic human rights. Okay, that's, you know, he wants it to shift away from the 60 million babies that have been slaughtered, torn apart limb from limb, and say, no, come over here. You know, you got to be about transgender rights. That's the leading issue of our times. I mean, come on. I mean, I keep coming back to this again. What is it? Father John Howell, he put up a little two-sentence thing on social media. He says, listen, if it was the law right now that you persecute and kill Catholics, you would still have 45% of Catholics voting for that law. Yeah.
I mean, it's sad but true.
I mean, come on. What does it take? What does it take, you know, to get off of this pro-death anti-marriage, anti-God agenda, okay, and keep them out of power. That's what it boils down to. You can talk about anything you want about. You know, I've been talking lately about how I saw an article about mean moms. It's like, yeah, my mom didn't give us candy for breakfast, and she was such a meanie, and she didn't give us Twinkies for lunch, and she was such. But the point of it was to call a mean mom. But it was a mom that was tough, you know, and St. Thomas Aquinas, to will the good of the other, right? Yep. For the sake of the other. That's what moms were, and they were mean. Well, you know what I said? We got a mean president, okay? We got a mean president, a mean mom president who isn't going to sit there and let this demonic left agenda get rifled through, and he stands up like a mom with a, you know, with a spoon in her hand and says, you're not going to tell me, you know? And so what's it going to take? Father, you want to speak to that?
The first thing I'd say is, you know, when you characterized it correctly, to will the good of the other.
Right.
Now, we all know that those people who suffer from interior need to change genders, the transgenders, they have 6 times the rate of suicide.
Right.
So if we genuinely care about them,
exactly,
then we should be bringing healing grace into their lives.
Exactly.
Because they are hurting.
Exactly.
And to just say, go to town. That is not willing their good.
No.
Because it's a 6-time suicide rate. But you don't hear that from the left, because what it is it's a destruction of family values. It's an absolute destruction of faith values and a denial of Almighty God Himself.
Right.
Because if God created, if He is a creator, then we're just the created. He makes the law. We do not. He commands, we obey. It's all about taking God out of the picture, which is what godless socialism is.
Right.
And no reference to the transcendent. So that's why they're doing this. That's why they're spending so much volume of for such a tiny fraction of the total population. Yeah. And they're making this the issue that, like you said, Joe Biden just did. That it's like a rallying cry, and everybody backs it because that's what they do on the left. Birds of a feather flock together. They all are these victims for whatever cause they're behind, with absolutely no reference to the transcendent. And they don't actually care for the good of the other, because if they did, they actually cared about Black people, if Black Lives Matter actually cared about Black people, they'd be slightly more concerned about the 9 out of 10 babies in Washington, D.C. that are murdered every year.
Yeah.
Did that answer your question?
Yes.
Now, on the bottom of the screen, we have, how about we not burn in hell? If we can, I mean, because the audience may be wondering, could you be a little more clear on what you mean by that? I mean, so in general, what we're saying in this episode is, you know, that there is a absolute moral obligation as Catholics to vote into power people, use the gift that we have to vote, and vote into power leaders who have moral fiber that put God first, family, and so forth, and that it is incumbent upon us, because we will stand before God and have to answer for who we use that power to vote for. That's in a nutshell. If I'm not, that's kind of where we're going with this. Can you, Father Altman, speak more directly or clearly to
that actually was the whole founding basis of the Constitution, that we would be informed in our conscience, a well-informed conscience, by Almighty God to maintain a proper federal government, certainly state government. And one of our, was it John Adams, said that the Constitution only works if we have a belief in God, if we have this moral authority above us, above the opinions of the day. So if we don't stand up for morality and instead of just, you know, acquiescing to whatever legality happens to be at the moment, if we don't stand up for that, we will be held accountable, and we will pay the price in eternity. You know, the legality that's out there now is defining the broad road. Morality defines a very narrow road. So we have to choose which road we're going to be on. And if we are choosing people who are voting for the broad road, and we got a problem. And that's it. If I didn't care about people, I wouldn't say it. If I wasn't more concerned about your eternal soul, that sister, what was it? Sister Byrne?
Yeah.
That was at the end. And she said, I'm not just pro-life, I'm pro-eternal life.
Exactly.
And that is what we're doing here. We're trying to.
That's what will the good of the other means, you know?
Yeah.
I care that you get to heaven, you know?
Yes.
I want, and that's what real love is all about.
Exactly.
And so I see it in you, Father, and I think I have it in me too, that it's almost like a panic, you know, that come on, don't you see this? You know, please understand this, because we don't want anybody going to hell, for all of eternity.
Yeah.
Well, right? And we certainly don't want our culture to crumble in the meantime.
Right.
Yeah, if I could chime in on that point and bring up in 1973, when in the church-approved apparition of Our Blessed Mother in Akita, Japan, to Sister Agnes Sasagawa. Yeah. The final apparition took place on October 13th, which is the anniversary of the miracle of the sun.
Yes. And
what she says in there about if man does not repent, fire would fall from the sky, a multitude of the world would be annihilated, good would die with the evil, even priests would die, where it will be worse than the deluge. And she says in there, those who are living when this is over will envy those who are dead.
Yeah.
And in all of that, she ends the apparition by saying, the cause of my great sadness is the loss of so many souls.
Yeah.
As much as she describes the devastation that's going to happen on a physical level, on a natural level, devastation of such a great portion of mankind dying and suffering and living, envying the dead, she still says that the cause of her sadness is the loss of souls.
Yeah.
And then after that apparition for the next 6 years, the statue that was in Akita, that was in the convent, wept 101 times. It wept, it perspired. Yeah. It also had a stigmata wound for several weeks. It bled. And all three of those fluids, the tears, the perspiration, which, by the way, the perspiration smelled like perfume, and the blood, all three were tested three different times at least by medical facilities, and all came back as human.
Yeah.
So Our Blessed Mother makes clear exactly what you two priests just said. The cause of her great sadness is the loss of souls. That is the primary concern. But we also have to be aware of heaven sending the messages to us that God will allow natural chastisements, like World War II was chastisement prophesied in Fatima, the genocide in Rwanda prophesied by Our Lady 12 years prior in Rwanda. He will allow this because of man's sin. As little Saint Jacinta said, God allows war because of man's sin.
Right.
So when we see things exploding in Portland, in Seattle, and Kenosha and Minneapolis, and we see this all over, are these not the rumblings that we should be concerned about on a natural and supernatural level? And I just think that with everything coming together in the next couple months, we would be incredibly foolish to ignore exactly what you two priests are trying to shout from the rooftops.
You know, that same sister had another vision on October 6th, 2019.
All right.
Same day, the Pachamama was brought in, the abomination was brought into the temple. I think we talked about this before. And she said, well, you know, so Fatima says, pray harder, turn your life, you know, repent, turn like the people in Nineveh, turn back and all will be okay. But then Akita comes along and says, well, you didn't. And so now you can only mitigate the damages, but you can still at least do that. But on October 6th, the day the abomination was brought into the temple, that's when she got the next message saying, fasten your seatbelts, it's here. So that's my language, but same thing.
Yeah, that's a good interpretation, too, that, fasten your seatbelts, yeah.
Yeah, to let you know a little bit more about October 6th, that's right now they're saying that's when a supposed accident occurred in Wuhan, China lab on that same day as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have to pray like we've never prayed before. And Father, I want to thank you so much for coming on to the podcast. I want to thank all of the United States Grace Force warriors and everybody that listens in. Please too, join the United States Grace Force. We're in the middle of a 54-day Rosary Novena. We're right about halfway through, so you can hop in if you want to be a part of that. We're going to have prayer campaigns. Interesting that the first presidential debate is on the feast to Saint Michael the Archangel.
Is it September 29th?
Yeah. So we're gonna do a novena with the chaplet of Saint Michael leading up to that. Yeah. You'll hear more about that too. But thanks for everything, Father. I'm praying hard for you too, because
glory to God. Thank you both.
I know you're tireless, but you know, I pray for your health and for that God continues to give you that fire and that grace that you need.
Well, let me just chime in one more time again for anybody who might not have heard this earlier. If I didn't make it clear enough before, any men out there who are the parishioners of Father Altman, Father Heilman, and any other priests out there that you know, I mean, we should be protecting priests anyway, but especially those who are putting themselves in the front line in these times.
Yep.
We laymen need to be gearing up and standing up in protection. I encourage you, men, call your priests, call Father Altman, call Father Heilman at least, and let them know you are there. You are ready to go if they need you for something. And then work on arrangement with other men. Have a plan. Be tactical about this. People, oh, Doug, you want to call for a militia. You know what? Call it whatever you want. Okay, but cowardice, there's no place for cowardice, and there's no place for burying your heads in the sand, especially when good priests like this or a good bishop like Bishop Strickland are putting themselves on the line. I know there are several men down here in Tyler who have told me, just tell the bishop, and I have told him, who are ready at a moment's notice to come and protect them if he needs it, if he wants it. And this is something in our times right now. Look, I don't ever want to see either of you two. You're friends of mine, and you're good priests, and I don't want to see you ever march to a guillotine. And if that ever happens, you know what? Like, if God calls for martyrdom, that's one thing. But we are supposed to, as St. Thomas More says, use our wits to the best of our ability. And then if God closes the doors, then we die like champions. But until then, we use our wits to be able to survive. And this is something you saw, I think, in the movie Let There Be Dragons about San Jose Maria Escriva. At one point, he's in the street and he's seeing the abuse and the persecution, and he wants to go engage and be willing to die. And there are people who are saying, but Father, we need you here because there are people in the mountains and the hills that need a priest. And so he went and he escaped, and they preserved his life so he could be there to give the sacraments and help people. That's just a story people need to be thinking about. This is our time right now to be prepared and geared up to protect priests like Father Altman and Father Heilman. So thanks, no Doug. Excuses, man. Let's get ready for this.
Thanks, Doug. Father, could you close us with a little prayer and blessing?
Sure.
In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we ask you to send your grace down upon us like the dewfall. Inspire us to fill us with courage, to let us live out our lives as witnesses to the faith, even unto martyrdom, red or white. And we ask through the intercession of great saints like Charles Borromeo, like Bishop St. John Fisher, who stood up against King Henry VIII, like St. John the Baptist, who also stood up against the governmental powers, every great saint that stood up against them and even lost their lives because of it. Through the intercession, may Almighty God bless all of you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Father.
Thank you, Father. Good to have you.
Thank you, everyone. Cheers.